Well, good morning. If you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good to be here. Before we begin, let me go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. Father, you are the giver of every good and perfect gifts. You are the Father of lights in whom there's no variation, no shadow of change. We ask that you would send your Spirit, Lord God, upon us, that we might hear and behold wonderful things from your law. As we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as we look to Christ, our brother, to you, God, our Father, to the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, may you open the eyes of our hearts, and may you open our ears in our hearts so that we might draw near to you. Pray that you would bless every word that is said. May it be yours and yours alone. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you will want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. We're continuing our series on kingdom living, relationships. And so today, as we look at children and parents, we're going to be doing so using this letter of Ephesians. Why? Well, this letter is showing us what it looks like to live in Christ. Not just as a church, but in our homes and in our ordinary relationships. So the letter of Ephesians is all about identity. Who we are as God's children in Christ Jesus, and how that identity shapes every part of our lives. And so in chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians, Paul proclaims the gospel of grace. And then in chapters 4 to 6, he shows what grace looks like in practice, especially in our households. Why? Well, in Paul's world, fathers had near absolute authority, and children were often treated as property. And so Paul gives a radical vision of family life, which is shaped not by power, but by grace. Every command, whether to children or to parents, is rooted in the phrase, in the Lord. And so in these four short verses here, Paul speaks to both children and parents. To children, he says, obey and honor your parents. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's in the Lord. And that brings blessings. And then to parents, don't push your children to anger. Instead, raise your children like God raises us, his children, as his children in the discipline and nurture or instruction of the Lord. You see, parenting and the thing that I call childing, which really is how we relate to parents as children. So I made that word up. It's not actually a word. It's not about behavior modification. It's about life where everything is tied to our union with Christ. Everything. And so some of us hear a passage like this and feel our heart resisting. Maybe you're a child, and obedience to your parents seems like a power struggle to you. Or maybe you're a parent who's just trying to survive, let alone disciple. As children, maybe you've pulled your hand away when your parents have reached out to you. Or as a parent, maybe instead of holding your hand out and taking your children by the hand, you've pulled them or pushed them instead of gently guiding them. Most of us feel the tension between God's calling and what we actually do in our homes and in our lives. But Paul is going to paint a vision here of households that are completely radically different. One where, in the Lord, homes are marked by presence rather than pressure. Obedience is grace-fueled, not fear-based. And parenting is not about control, but about cultivating Christ-likeness. And children, they're not simply future Christians in training. They are members of the covenant community of God. Paul is not speaking to them as passive bystanders who are just coming along. but as disciples. He's speaking of your children, parents, and the children in the congregation, brothers and sisters, that you have vowed to help raise them as disciples who belong to Jesus. You got to treat them differently than you just people to just push along towards Christ. It's about discipling in Christ. So if you've tried parenting or obeying in your own strength and you failed, this text is going to offer hope today. If you long for a household that's marked by grace, listen closely here, because we're going to explore how living in the Lord transforms relationships in family. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, instruction, and instruction of the Lord. The grass, it withers. The flowers, they fade, but the word of our God stands forever. And all God's people said, amen. What we see right away in this passage is that children and parents should serve one another in the Lord. Children and parents should serve one another in the Lord. Now imagine with me a child holding out their hand to be led, and a parent holding theirs out to lead lovingly and gently. This is a picture not only of what God does with us as the perfect father, but also of how our households should function in Christ. Verses 1 to 4 show us a grace-shaped household. A household shaped by grace, where children obey and honor their parents. Not just because it's right, not just because it's good, though it is right, though it is good, and it brings blessings, but actually from their union with Christ. You see, a household where children obey their parents from their union with Christ. And where parents raise their children not out of frustration or out of control, trying to keep them and move them along the way that you want them to be and do the things that you want them to do, but as the Lord raises us gently and in love into a deeper union with Christ. See, parenting here is about bringing your children into a deeper union with Christ, not making sure that they look the way that you want and have them turn out the way that you want them to turn out. Verses 1 to 3 give us three reasons for children to obey and honor your parents. So kids, there's three reasons. The first is natural law, the second is divine law, and the third is promise. So let's talk about natural law. It's simply the right thing to do, kids. Obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. Why? Because innately we know that a society where children don't obey is not going to go well. Where children refuse to obey parents or authority, the world unravels around us. Lord of the Flies, anyone? Divine law. And so if you haven't watched Lord of the Flies or read it yet in school, it's about a bunch of kids who get stranded out on an island, basically, with no adults, and they do terrible things. Terrible, terrible things. And all people are like this, by the way, without law. Then divine law. So it's simply commanded by God. Like, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Well, God says so. First, natural law. The world is terrible if you don't obey your parents. Second, divine law. God says so. Our Creator commands us, kids, to honor both our father and our mother. Look, it says honor your father and your mother, not just your father, not just your mother. They're parenting together, and you are to respect and honor both mother and father. You are not to take your mother and father and make them fight and try to use one against the other. That's not honoring, is it? You guys know that. Do not do that. Hey, dad said no, let's get mom to say yes. Kids, that's disobeying the divine law. You cannot do that. And it's actually disobeying the natural law, because then your household will be in shambles, and guess what will happen to your mom and dad? They will not be happy with one another. And then you will bear the fruit of your mom and dad mad at each other because one said yes and the other said no. And guess who gets the brunt of that? You do, because you pushed it intentionally, trying to get one to go against the other. Children, don't stir war up in your families. Bad idea. Dishonors God. It dishonors natural law. So when we honor God, who is the true Father, children who we can't see, by obeying the parents that he gave you who you can see. You won't be able to obey God, children, if you don't obey your parents. Because you will reject and refuse authority. And God is the ultimate authority. Third promise, it actually brings blessings in your life. And the Bible says a long life. Do you want to live long? The Bible says, obey your parents. Honor your parents. Paul says, obey your parents, children. And then he goes on and says, it's the first commandment with the promise. What's the promise? Good life and long life. If you want a good life in your family, kids, then you should obey your parents. I mean, you know this. Disobey your parents and you get in trouble, don't you? Is that fun? No. Do you lose things, privileges? Yes. So why do we do it? Because we sin and we want what we want. But if you want a good life, if you want a long life, you do that. It's kind of like this. If you follow the manual, then things will be good. If you don't follow the manual, then things will be bad. If you've ever tried to put anything together without following the instructions, what happens? Or those of you kids who like games, what happens if you try to play a game and you haven't read the rules? There's a whole bunch of people who don't know how to play, and they're all fighting in the midst of the game. Good things happen when you obey and follow God's law and what your parents tell you. Terrible things happen when you don't. And you know this. Think about this as just an example. If your parents say to eat healthy and you don't eat your food, you don't eat your vegetables, you don't eat those type of things like that, it's going to affect you. Children, if you eat Fruity Pebbles every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, what will happen to you? You will not be healthy because it's not a balanced food, right? It doesn't give you the energy, the protein that your body needs to function, and you will eventually get sick. See, long life happens when we obey the laws of the land and the laws of God and the laws of our parents. So verse 1 tells us how children should obey and honor their parents. The word obey here isn't this, I guess so. Not begrudging compliance. It's the same word used when disciples listen to Jesus. It's obedience with ears of trust. So your parents tell you to do something and you trust them because they're good and they love you and they're trying to do good things for you. So you obey with ears of trust. Paul doesn't frame obedience as duty under fear, but as worship under grace. Obedience is not about pleasing parents to avoid punishment, children. It's about honoring Jesus who loves you and gave himself for you. The word honor here isn't just being polite. It means to treat somebody as weighty, with dignity, value, and esteem. When you honor your parents, it means you treat them with dignity, value, and esteem. This is why the Southern culture had children say, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Because they were saying, hey, treat your parents with respect and honor, that they have weight, that what they say have weight. So when they told you to do something, you didn't say, well, fine. You said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I'm not saying you have to do that, kids, in your family. And I'm not telling you, parents, that you should make your kids say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. But you should have the heart of yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. Your parents ask you to do something. It's for your good. You do what they ask. Does this make sense, kids? Is this convicting? I hope so. Because I promise you that your households don't work like this. I promise you that you guys are disobeying and you guys are being disrespectful to your parents. I can promise you. I know that. None of you are perfect. And I can guarantee you, you have sinned greatly, deeply against God by dishonoring your father and your mother. So we'll get there in a moment. So we obey and honor out of duty, and not out of duty or gain, but because of and from our union with Christ. When Paul says in the Lord here, he's not just telling children where to obey, but why to obey. Obedience and honor come from living in relationship with Jesus, united to him, empowered by his Spirit, and delighting in his ways. You see, Jesus didn't just obey his earthly parents. He honored them by entrusting himself to the care, submitting with joy, even though he knew more than them. The God of the universe obeyed his parents and he knew more than them. So you have no business, children, saying, dishonoring your parents, because the God of the universe honored his parents when he knew more than them. So if you know more than your parents, you have no right to dishonor them at all. Jesus was at the temple with his heavenly Father, and what happened? He said, hey, well, this is where I'm supposed to be with my Father. And they're like, well, you need to come. And he said, okay. And he listened and he went. And he didn't talk back to them. See, this is important. If the God of the universe will obey his parents and honor his parents, his earthly parents, then we have no business dishonoring them, do we? It wasn't beneath the King of the universe to do it, even though it actually was. He did it for your sake. And so he went down with them in Luke 2:51. He was submissive to them. That's our model. Not just doing what our parents say, but doing it with a heart that sees our parents as a gift from God. Kids, do you see your parents as a gift from God? Are they a gift or are they a burden? What do you think? Did God give you your parents because he loves you? Or did God give his youth parents because he wants you to be irritated and have a hard life? What is the purpose? I can guarantee you, if you were like me when I was a kid, you think that God did it to irritate you, to make your life hard. But that's not why he gave you parents. He gave your parents to instruct you, to lead you in the way, to guide you into Christ, to show you Jesus in all his beauty and all his wonder. That is why you have parents, to lead you and disciple you into Christ. Can you tell that I think this is important, kids? Can you tell? This frames your entire life, whether you will follow Jesus or not. And if you do not honor your father and your mother who you can see, you will not honor God who you can't see. And as soon as you get out from under their roof, you will do whatever you want, and it will destroy your life. Your parents are guiding you and leading you into Jesus Christ so that your days will be long in the land that the Lord gives you. They want you to succeed. They want you to do well. They want your life to go well. They want good for you, not just to make your life hard. So this is our model. We see our parents as a gift from God. Obedience is situational, okay? So obedience is situational. When you get to be 25, you're not going to have to obey your parents, right? But honor is permanent. You will always honor your parents. Brothers and sisters, now I talk to you. How do you treat your parents? Do you treat them with respect and honor? Or do you dishonor your parents because you're older? And maybe they did a lot of things to hurt you, and so you dishonor them. But that is not allowed. You honor your father and your mother till you die. Obedience is situational, because you get older, you grow up, and then you don't have to obey them, right? Dad is not going to be calling you and say, hey, son, I need you to take out the trash. You're going to be in your own household. But when your dad calls, you shouldn't like let it ring and not care about it. You should, if you can't answer it, you should call him later. Honor. Respect. And even if your dad or mom, when they're older, are irritating you, don't talk bad at them. I was just wondering whether I should tell the story, but they're both dead, so it's fine. My grandfather grew up in a pretty, pretty rough, his mom didn't like him. I don't know why. And had him eat with the dog in the kitchen. Never got to eat at the table. And when he was older and he got married and they had dinner, his mom said, pass a roll, and he like chucked it at her. I don't think to hurt her, but he was basically getting back at her. That's not honoring, is it? Now, that was before, my grandfather became a Christian later in his life. So, but you get my point, don't you? That's not honoring. Getting back at your parents because they hurt you and did evil things is not honoring. So this applies to old people too. The Spirit teaches us to see our parents through the lens of grace, children, to honor them not because they're perfect, but because God in his wisdom gave them to us. But then in verse 4, Paul tells parents not to provoke their children. All right, parents, now I get to come after you. Spent all this time going after the kids. Let me go after you now. Myself too. You are to raise them in the Lord. There is a way to raise your children when they ask the question why that you say, because I said so. That can provoke children to wrath, to anger. Why? Because they legitimately have asking a question. If they ask you why when they already know why, it's a different story. But even then, you shouldn't yell and scream at them, but you should gently lead them. See, the way that God leads you and treats you should give you a hint of the way that you fathers and mothers are loving your and raising your children. God's discipling them in the Lord, so he doesn't do things to make God's commit. So God doesn't do things to you, brothers and sisters, to make your life hard. He doesn't try to make his commandments hard to obey. There is a way, fathers especially, which is what this passage is talking about, there is a way, fathers, that you can live and you can raise your kids in such a way that your parents or your kids have a very difficult time obeying you. That they get angry because you're asking them to do something that they either don't understand, don't know why they're doing it, and you're just basically saying, you know what? Children should be seen and not heard. That is not a biblical model. This says you must raise them in the discipline or discipleship, you could think of it that way, of the Lord and in drawing them into the Lord. Essentially, the word bring them up literally means to nourish. You are to care for your children, fathers, like they are a plant that needs watering to keep it alive and to make it thrive and make sure it has sunlight and water. If you're not doing that with your children, if you're letting your children grow up without your oversight and supervision and leading them into Christ, they're going to wither like a plant. Plants need light. Plants need water. You are to nourish them like that. And if you're bad with plants, it's fine. These are humans. You can do better. Right? So this is what you're commanded. This is the command. So Paul is calling fathers to feed their children, not just physically, but to feed and nourish their children spiritually and emotionally too. You have to engage them at the depths of their soul. Love them. Bring them. Draw them in. You can't treat them without emotion, without love. You can't just ignore them. You have to dig in. Draw them into Christ. Make Christ attractive by the way that you parent your children. Make Christ beautiful for your children by the way that you draw them in, by the way you treat them, by the way you honor them. Do it in the Lord. The goal here is not behavior control, but disciplining them gently into the beauty and wonder of Jesus. Jesus is not only the obedient Son, he is also the everlasting Father. He is the good shepherd who leads his sheep. How? Gently. Jesus says that a smoldering wick he does not put out and a bruised reed he doesn't break. If you're not parenting your children that way, you're not parenting the way that Jesus intends you to parent. He doesn't provoke us to wrath, but he instructs us in love and with love. Our goal is to lead children gently by the hand into the beauty and wonder of Christ. And yet, despite this beautiful design, we often invert God's order, don't we? We choose to live for self instead of for the Lord. We choose to live for self instead of for the Lord. As people, whether adults or children, we invert this design. So parents, we push or pull our children rather than gently leading them by the hand. And as children, we resist and rebel, pulling our hands away from our parents, saying, "You won't lead me." This is just naturally what we do. Why? Because of our sinful tendency to rule ourselves, to resist authority, and to provoke rather than disciple. So opposite the command of verse 1, we naturally resist authority. I don't need to expound this. You guys know when you do it. Kids, your parents say don't do it. What's the first thing you want to do? You want to do it. It's natural. We, like children who do not do what is right, disobey not only our parents and those in authority over us, but also God, which requires not just temporal discipline, but eternal punishment. Second, opposite the fifth commandment outlined in verses 2 to 3, we naturally dishonor our parents. We naturally don't give them the respect and the dignity that God tells us. And so, even if it leads to hardship or shortens our lives, we don't care. Say, here, honor your father and mother. The days may be long in the land, and that life will go good with you. And we're like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want. Throw a hazard to the wind. Do whatever I want. And life goes miserably. In verse 4, we see that naturally we push our children into anger and provoke them instead of loving and caring for them. And so, instead of leading with love and grace because we don't want to put the effort in to disciple and instruct our children in the Lord and in His gospel because it's too much work, because it's heart work, and kids don't like their heart being worked on because naturally we resist. And so you have to put the effort into it. And so we don't do that, do we? We coast. We go want to binge on Netflix or something instead of doing the hard work and sitting down and having a conversation with them and caring for them. It doesn't mean that every time you fall short, you're rejecting God outright, like, you know, deserving the punishment and eternal wrath of God, that you're just simply like saying, I don't care what God says. But it shows us how deep our need for grace runs. Even our best efforts are tainted with self-love. That's why we don't just need better strategies, we need a new heart that only Jesus can give. All of this shows that we often don't live in the Lord. We live for ourselves. We disobey because we want control. Like Adam and Eve, we want to decide what's right and wrong. Hey, God said, don't eat of the tree of the fruit of knowledge and evil. I don't care. I'd rather just do that. We dishonor others because we want the glory. We ignore the pain our sin causes and chase whatever brings us comfort. We push others to anger because we care more about ourselves than them. And we avoid disciplining our children because we love our own ease more than their good. So we don't discipline them. Some of us rebel like the younger brother in the parable that Jesus told, dishonoring our parents and chasing pleasure. And then others are like the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son, exacerbated, proud, expecting others to earn what we feel we've achieved. And both sons live outside the joy of the Father's love. The gospel invites you to come home. All of this causes so much trouble and difficulty for ourselves and for others. The primary relationships in our lives, our families, are left not as grace-filled, love-saturated gospel places where peace reigns, but war zones where everybody's struggling for supremacy. With this natural tendency, is there any hope? Yes, there is. Jesus the Lord lived and died for us so that we might be counted as perfect parents and perfect children before God. To put our hands in another's and allow them to lead us into an uncertain future can be very scary, doesn't it? Kids, you understand, right? When your parents are asking you to do something you've never done before and they hold out their hand and say, take me by the hand and I'll lead you, it's uncertain, it's scary. You'd rather be in control, wouldn't you? Yet Jesus, both the Son of God and the Son of Man, willingly took his Father's hand, obeying and honoring him, and allowed himself to be led into cursing and early death so that we might be counted as perfect parents and perfect children before God. Do you understand that Jesus perfectly obeyed his heavenly Father and his earthly Father, and that he did not have a good life and he did not live a long life? Why? Because we didn't. He took that upon himself. He took the curse of a short life and hard life so that you could live a good life and a long life. That's what Jesus did. Verse 1 shows children that they are to obey their parents in the Lord, and Jesus, our Lord, the true Son, did exactly that. He became the Son of Man and perfectly obeyed both his earthly parents and heavenly fathers. In verse 2, the heavenly Father and his earthly father. In verses 2 to 3, we're told that honoring our father and mother brings blessing. and long life. But Jesus didn't have that. He let his Father lead him into suffering and death through his substitution. He bore the consequences of our dishonor so that you and I could be honored in God's household. Verse 4 shows us that parents are called to lead their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. When we look at Jesus, we see the perfect example. He is the everlasting Father of Isaiah 9:6. He's the good shepherd of Psalm 23 and John chapter 10, who leads us with love, not anger, shaping us for our good and conforming us to his image so we might know his love and joy. Jesus died and rose again, sending the Spirit to form us into people of grace. He gently takes our hand and he leads us, caring for us in our weakness. He bore God's wrath in our place, carrying the weight of our sin so that we might be called beloved children in whom God delights. Listen, Jesus the Son lived a life of perfect obedience and honor to the Father. He carried our guilt and our sorrow, and his life was cut short. He was cut off from the land of the living on that cross so that you and me could be counted as obedient children. Children who honor both their earthly parents and their heavenly Father. In Christ, we are made God's children, and now all things work for our good as we live with him forever. Jesus Christ's work on the cross solves our disobedience problem. Kids, your disobedience problem is solved by Christ. You don't receive cursings and wrath because God has given his Son to bear those for you, so that if you trust in him and live in him, you can live in that. But Jesus Christ's work did that. He did that so not only you could be counted as obedient children and good parents, but also by the Spirit, we are empowered to live as true children of God, to joyfully obey, to gently parent, and to build homes that are marked by grace. That are marked by grace. You see, Jesus lived and died and rose again, received the Holy Spirit to give us the Holy Spirit to send in our hearts. And so the Spirit brings us into Christ so we are not only counted as obedient and honoring children, but empowered to live like that. Obeying God, obeying parents, parenting our children with gentleness and care, disciplining them in a way that pleases the Lord. Jesus, as our sanctifier who makes us more holy, works faith and obedience in us, and so we no longer live for ourselves, seeking our own honor, seeking our own control, but now we are enabled to desire and follow God's will, which allows us to obey others and love them. So by the Spirit, we begin to obey kids, not just because it's right, but because we want to honor our parents. We may even go beyond what they ask. They tell us to clean the room, we clean the bathroom too. You think I'm joking? Do you just do what you're supposed to and nothing else? Is that all? That's not a heart filled with grace. That's not a heart filled with love. That's not a heart filled with honor. It's just doing duty. Just pushing through it. Can you do more? They expect you kids probably to clean your room so poorly that it's got to be gone over twice or three times. Maybe you do it right the first time, all the way, until you know that your mom, it will pass the mom inspection. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Instead of groaning, when you're told what to do, you respond respectfully, and maybe even surprise your parents once in a while by saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. I don't know. You don't have to, but you could. The Spirit also transforms our parenting. Rather than barking orders, do this, do this, do this, and provoking your children to anger, we gently lead our children to Christ. We slow down to explain something, why something that you're asking is good. And we examine whether our request of the children will draw them to Christ or push them away from Christ. And how what we say and how we ask them, whether that will push them away or draw them to. And I'm sorry, I'm going long and that's okay. Because this is like probably one of the most practical and important sermons, kids, that you will hear. And parents, this is so important. If you are not raising in Christ, trying to disciple kids into Christ, you're missing the boat. The boat is not to get children who just do what you say right away, all the time, but to draw them so that they see the beauty and wonder of Christ through the way that you lead them. Because if Christ leads you as a loving, gentle father, and you don't lead like that, you're lying about who Jesus is. You see? So by the Spirit, he shows you your loving father from Psalm 103, and you now are no longer parenting to control, but you're parenting to shepherd children's hearts into the beauty and wonder of Christ. We care deeply that they live for God, not for the world, not for the flesh, not for the devil. And so by the Spirit, our children might begin to obey us with ears of Christ, not just listening to our voice, but actually hearing and seeing the heart of Jesus behind your voice and your commands or your requests of them. Don't you want your kids to see the heart of Christ behind what you're telling them to do, not just what you're telling them to do? Children will maybe begin to obey because Jesus obeyed his heavenly father and his earthly parents. And children's hearts made new by the Spirit delight to follow Jesus' example. You want to be like Jesus? Obey your parents. Honor your parents. Honor your parents because you trust God's promises, because all God's promises are yes and amen in Christ. You live out of your union with Jesus, whose own heart was full of obedience and honor. Parents, lead with gentleness because that's how Jesus leads us. From our union with Christ, we parent in the Lord so children can live from their own union with him. If you're not living from your union with Christ, you're not going to lead your children into a union with Christ. If you're living and doing your parenting because you have to, because it's what you do, and not because it's an outflow of the love of God in your heart, your children are not going to see. See, this is the pattern of grace. Leading into Jesus. The Holy Spirit sent by Jesus changes our hearts. He makes us want to obey and honor both God and our parents. And he leads us to pray to the Father through the Son, asking the Spirit to make Jesus more real in our relationships. And in this way, our homes are going to be marked by grace, not striving. Grace-filled homes. Gospel-powered obedience. That's what we need. Brothers and sisters, if you didn't parent like this and now you're way beyond, this is why Jesus died. To forgive us for how we failed to lead our children into Christ. And you can trust that God, by his grace and by his mercy, is faithful and just to do the right thing with your children, even if you don't see any way that they might ever come to Christ. My wife and I and our kids witnessed a man who was in his 90s, I believe. I think he was in a wheelchair maybe even. He came up on stage at a big church we were at, and he had been raised by a Christian mom and his entire life was lived in sin. And at 90-some years old, he repented and he joined the church. Don't give up hope. God's covenant is sure. His love is deeper than you can imagine. So trust him. When we feel the pull to live for ourselves and seek our own glory, we need to remember Christ. Though he deserved all honor, he humbled himself and obeyed, even as human parents, for our sake. When we're tired or frustrated by our children, we draw on the Spirit's power to lead them gently to Jesus, even when it's costly to us. And when we're tempted to believe our own way is better than obedience, we remember God's good promises not only for this but life, but for eternity. If this sounds like a beautiful way to raise a family and live it for a family, guess what? It is. Imagine a home where parents gently lead their children by the hand into Christ, and children gladly take the hand of their parents and follow them. Each one loving, each one honoring, and each one serving one another in their God-given role, all to the glory of God. If you're not sure that you could ever live this way, or if you wonder whether you even belong to God's family, hear this: Jesus holds out his nail-pierced hands today and says, "Take my hand. I will cover you." Take it. He will gently lead you into a life where God is your Father, Jesus is your perfect elder brother, and the Spirit lives within you, enabling you to obey. In Christ, you receive His perfect obedience and are welcomed into a family that will endure forever. Confess Jesus as Lord and live in obedience as His beloved child. And if you already belong to Him, then guess what? Live in that reality. Whether a parent or a child, God is inviting you today not to try harder, but to take His hand and come closer. Take the hand of Jesus and let Him lead you. In Christ, we are no longer children grasping for control or parents grasping for results. We are sons and daughters led by the Spirit, learning to obey, learning to honor, and to raise others in grace because we ourselves are being parented by God. And whatever we do as parents or children, we do it all to the glory of the Father through Christ, empowered by the Spirit. Father, we thank You for the power of the Spirit to obey and to honor and to respect and to help us lead in grace. Grace-filled homes, saturated with the gospel, all pushing each other to Jesus. We praise You and ask that You would pour out Your Spirit upon every member of this family so that they would live in that reality of Christ and all He did as the perfect Son for our sake. We pray this in His name. Amen.